Bible said in Romans chapter 1, "Boy, it's sweet to know the Lord." Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. If correctly read, that's the first 17 verses. We began last week talking about the gospel. It's mentioned four times in these first few verses in the book of Romans chapter number 1. And we talked about the gospel messenger last week, how that the apostle Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ. He was a servant. He was surrendered. He was separated unto the gospel of God. We talked about the gospel message. You know, I've had people say to me things like this, "Well, Pastor, it's just hard for me to talk in front of people." Well, let me just say this to you. I believe lots of times when people say that, it's easy to talk about cars, talk about a race, talk about a ball game. I want to tell you, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." We need to get to a place in our life where we realize there's nothing in this world any better that we can talk about than Jesus. Amen. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of all supreme through all eternity, the great I Am, the door, the way, the truth, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Tonight I want to look at the gospel manifested. All those years Brother Rufus was testifying, all those years he was hearing the truth, but there come a day when it was manifested in his life, when the Lord, he used the term, I think, showed up. And he was no longer listening to something that a man was saying or praying, but he was listening to what God was saying to him. And the gospel begins to manifest itself. We see here in the Word of God that Paul received grace. Look at verse number 5. By whom we have received grace. I was thinking today, I've got something on my heart that I've got to do before long. There's something that God has required of me. I won't go into it. But I was thinking about a message that I preached years ago. And the Bible said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. How many knows that? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But the Lord put a thought on my heart, and that was this. It's blessed to receive. You say, "Pastor, I don't understand." No, he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, but it's blessed to receive. Honey, you didn't get to become a child of God without receiving. You didn't have nothing. That might not be good English, but it's good preaching. When you came to Jesus, you had nothing to offer Him, and He had everything to offer you. I'm telling you, you can't have a giver without a receiver. And on the Damascus Road, when God interrupted Paul, or Saul of Tarsus at that time, when God interrupted his life and that great light shone round about him, there had to be a receiver in order for there to be a giver. And God wanted to give him grace. And the Word of God said right here, I've received grace. If you've not been saved, you've not received the grace of God. It's offered to everybody. But beloved, only those that will receive the grace of God are those, my friend, that are saved by the grace of God. So we see received grace in verse number 5. But I want to give you this, and then I'm going to get into the word grace some in the New Testament, the word gospel some in the New Testament. But then there's bestowed grace. In other words, when Paul received the grace of God, it was his desire, Brother Steve, to share it, to bestow upon others, amen, the grace of God. I'll show you what I mean. First of all, there was the desire to see sinners converted. I believe whenever somebody gets saved by the grace of God, I believe their life is no longer about just themselves, but they have a desire. That's why he said, I'm a debtor, both to the Jew and the Greek, the barbarian. That's why he said, I'm ready. That's why he said, I'm not ashamed. The same grace that saved me, I want to see God bestow that upon others. And so Paul wanted to see sinners converted. But not only that, he wanted to see the saints commended. Look in verse number 8. The Bible said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He was commending the church at Rome. Listen to me, there's something every one of us can learn right here. Every one of us either have to deal with our children or our grandchildren, or even in a church situation, sometimes you got to deal with things. But here's something I believe, a lesson that every one of us can learn from, and that is this. Always commend before you discipline. In other words, everybody surely is doing something right. And if you'll read over in the book of the Revelation, when Jesus deals with the churches, at times he has to deal with the negative, but he always commends them first for what they're doing right. I believe there's a good lesson there. Amen. The Apostle Paul is going to have to deal with some things, but he's going to commend them, and he's bestowing that grace that's been bestowed upon him, upon them. And then he wants to see the saints of God challenged. Look in verse number 10. He said, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. I believe that's important. I believe the Word of God ought to challenge us, and I believe as God's people, we ought to be challenging each other. I believe parents ought to be challenging their children, their teenagers, and I believe teenagers ought to be challenging their parents. Amen. I believe God is using the Apostle Paul to challenge them and to get them in a place where God can use them for His glory. But then as He bestows grace, not only does He desire to see sinners converted, to see the saints challenged and the saints commended, but He also has a desire to see the saints of God comforted. Look in verse number 12. He said, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I'll say this to you. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, I've said this before, the more we're going to need each other. But beloved, God can use us to comfort one another. That's what He said when He talked about Jesus coming. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I believe it's important, don't you? So we see the gospel manifested. How is the gospel manifested? The first mention of gospel in the book of Matthew, by the way, the word gospel is used 99 times in the New Testament. I believe it's important, don't you? And the word gospel is mentioned, first of all, in Matthew 4:23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And the last mention of the word gospel in the New Testament is in Revelation 14:6. I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heavens, having the everlasting gospel. Aren't you glad, thank God, this gospel is everlasting? Amen. Having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The Bible calls it the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Romans 1:9, Paul said, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. I believe Brother Rufus said something a while ago. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Beloved, it's not the gospel of the Baptist or the gospel of the pastor. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. How that he was, my friend, willing to come from heaven to earth. How that he was willing to walk and be born and walk and live as a man, but a sinless man, and be willing to die and be willing to be buried, that he might raise again the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. It's the gospel, beloved, of his Son. You remember there in the book of Acts, I won't turn there and read it, but you remember there was a eunuch. He was a treasurer for Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He had went down to Jerusalem for to worship. It's a perfect picture right here of what's been talked about in our brother's testimony. In other words, he knew something was missing, and he went down there to Jerusalem to worship, but he left there, and he still knew something was missing. And the word of God called Philip away from a revival meeting that was going on in Samaria. Said, I want you to go out in the desert. And there goes Philip. He just takes off. He don't pray about it. He just goes to do what God told him to do. Amen. And the Bible told him, Jesus told him, said, go join yourself to this chariot. He walked over there, and the man had the Bible open. I'm telling you, he had it open. He had it open to Isaiah 53. And Philip said, do you understand? I'm paraphrasing. Understandest thou what thou readest? And this man, this eunuch, said, how can I except some man guide me? You say, Pastor, I don't know what you're saying about Jesus here. The Word of God said, Philip began at that same scripture. He never mentioned a Baptist. He never mentioned a Methodist. He never mentioned a Catholic. He never mentioned a baptistry. He never mentioned a wafer. He never mentioned doing good. And he began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, because what that man needed was Jesus. He needed to be born again out there in the desert. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm afraid, beloved, listen, we've gotten away from the very basics, amen, in the Word of God. And that's what people need, is Jesus, Christ the Lord. Everybody in hell has one thing in common. They're all in hell without Christ. Everybody in heaven has one thing in common. They're all in heaven with Christ. Hallelujah. He's the one that makes a difference tonight. He's the Savior. He's the one that gave us, beloved, the gospel to share tonight. It's the gospel of his Son. It's the gospel of our salvation. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom also you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Beloved, see, we got to trust in what we hear. Beloved, we're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't help it. Tonight the Lord reminded me of a lady. Lady's name was Carol. I went to be a witness to her. She was one of the ladies in my church, her mommy. I went to try to win her and her daddy to Jesus. And I said to Carol, I said, Carol, listen, I love this question. Listen to this question tonight. If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? That's a good question. A lot of people have heard the term saved. They've heard the term born again. But I tell you, if you ask a person that, It's going to do something, beloved, because every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl knows down inside when they're telling the truth and when they're not telling the truth. And if somebody asks me tonight, Pastor, if you died tonight, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I can say yes, and the Holy Ghost down inside says amen. But it has nothing to do with being a pastor. It has nothing to do with reading the Bible. It has nothing to do with being married, trying to be a good husband. It has everything to do with the gospel that got a hold of my heart and Jesus coming into my life, making a difference in my life. Oh, beloved friend, the gospel of our salvation. I asked Carol, I said, if you died, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? She said, I believe I would. Now, you can say that till the Holy Ghost shows up. But she said, I believe I would. Listen, I don't believe I weigh 294 business pounds. I know I do. I got on the scales this morning. I hate them things. Amen. I don't believe I wear a size 13. I know I do. My foot won't go in a 12. I tried it for years. The lady at JCPenney right over here at the mall said, do you mind if I measure your foot? I said, no, I done tried on 3 or 4 different pairs of 12 wide. She said, honey, you don't need a 12 wide. You need a 13 medium. I said, I had a pair of those once, and they did feel awful good. I didn't want to admit my foot was that big. Amen. I don't know what's wrong with people. P-R-I-D-E. Amen. I didn't want to admit I was lost either. But God came down one day, and I had to admit it, that I might get some help. This lady, she said, I believe I would. I said, Carol, what makes you think you'd go to heaven? She said, well, me and my husband are good people. She'd been serious. She said, we pay our bills. She said, we're good neighbors. We've tried to raise our children right. And I just stopped her. I said, Carol, can I ask you a question? I said, honey, if the Bible said one thing, and you or I said another thing, I believe I got my English right there, didn't I? Amen. She's grinning, so I must have. You or I said another thing. I said, which one be right? She didn't hesitate, Brother Steve. She said, why the Bible? That's what she said. Why the Bible? In other words, if you're saying something, Miss Brendan, the Bible says another thing, the Bible's right. I mean, like it or not, the Bible's always right. I took that same Bible, turned over to Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, you can understand that. I went over to the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. The best way I can put it, it would be like telling Sawyer, no, Sawyer, you can't have a cookie, son. Well, it'd actually be like this morning. Years ago, the children bought me a chair for Father's Day that massages your back. I have a lot of trouble with my back, and that thing just, well, Sawyer this morning, early this morning, he wasn't in it. He was on it. I'm talking about all the way up on top of it. He thought it was Mount Everest, that it was put in the corner of the room to climb. I said, Sawyer, get down, son. He got down. It wasn't 15 minutes. There he was again. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You'd have thought I killed him. I went like that on the backside. I said, sit on the couch a little while, son. You need to do what Papa asked you to do. I said, we can't tear it up. I said, Papa needs it. And he sat on the couch. And it was awful. It's worse on me than it was on him. But he had to have it. In love, God will give us what we need. But it'd be just like Sawyer, like he looked at me this morning when I hollered at him the second time and said, Sawyer, and he turned around and he knew he was in trouble. This lady knew instantly that she was in trouble because she was saying one thing and God's Word said another thing. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. God's Word's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. God will never lie. God cannot lie. And God will always tell us the truth. For God is love. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, Pastor, what happened that day? I'll tell you what happened. She and her husband both humbled their heart at the coffee table. made an altar out of a coffee table and came to Christ Jesus the Lord and trusted Him as their Savior. I say what a blessing it is tonight, the gospel of our salvation. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, you see the gospel believed. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Honey, we can preach till we turn blue in the face, but until somebody takes up the message of the gospel and believes it in their heart, it's not going to help them, amen. It's not been maybe a year or so back, a precious lady. I'm talking about a precious lady was struggling, and she'd come and she'd say, Pastor, would you give me some verses? Would you give me some verses? She'd say to my wife, would you give me some verses? Would you give me some verses? And one day God said, listen, it's time. And I looked at her and sister, I said, sister, I can't give you no more verses. She said, why? I said, because you're not believing the ones I've already given you. That's tough, but God wants us to believe the gospel, not just to hear it. He wants us to believe it. He wants us to take Him at His word. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 8 and verse number 9, we see the gospel of His Son. We see, beloved, how that those people there, Paul preached the gospel, and their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. We see in verse number 15 and 16, he was not ashamed of the gospel. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number, I believe it was chapter 10 and verse number 15, listen to what the Word of God said. And he said, how can they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I'm glad it's a gospel of peace. The only way a person's ever going to have peace in this world is to understand that Christ loves them. Christ died for them. And Christ rose again. And the Prince of Peace can bring peace when we trust Him as our Savior. I believe the gospel is to be shared. The Word of God said over there in Ephesians, I want you to turn there with me tonight. Ephesians chapter number 6. I'm going to give you something tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. In Ephesians chapter number 6, the gospel is to be shared. I want to say this tonight. And we also need to pray for Brother Paul Farrell. God just brought him back to my heart and back to my mind. But let's remember him in prayer as well. But I believe the name of the cancer that Brother Brian had when he first went and they had to remove his leg was called sarcoma. And I want to ask you something tonight. If I had the cure for sarcoma, and I let that man go through what that man's been through, what kind of a man would I be to keep that to myself? You say, Pastor, I don't understand. Beloved, we don't have the cure. Let's just say for cancer. That's just one type of cancer. I don't have the cure for emphysema. I don't have the cure for diabetes. I don't have the cure for kidney failure. But I do have this, the cure for sin. It's right here in this book. And I tell you, God wants to get it through to us tonight. It's one thing to know the gospel, to receive the gospel. But God wants us to be in a place where He can use us to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about that? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me ask you something. How many of y'all believe that this is not just being addressed to preachers? Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Y'all believe that tonight? Watch this now. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And beloved, if you see any news in these daytime, in this day, in this time that we live in, you know good and well we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of darkness, The Bible said in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Beloved, God's people, as we walk in this world, are supposed to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth in them. Amen? And I believe God is saying that to us. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Not just the preacher, but beloved, God wants every Christian to be a witness. Watch this now. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, we know, according to the Word of God, that the Apostle Paul, he tells us, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp the authority over the man. I know there's places where they don't believe that, but I still believe the Word of God. But that does not excuse a lady from being a gospel witness. Let me show you something. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Some of the greatest soul winners I've ever met in this world were ladies. I'm telling you, they were just gentle, and they were full of God, and they would just share the gospel. They didn't want to be in any limelight. They're normally off somewhere in the shadows, but they're telling people the same gospel that Paul told them, amen, that we need Jesus if we're going to go to heaven. He said, with Clement also, and the other, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. It's a gospel of grace. I'm hurrying on purpose. It's a gospel of grace. Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Watch this. What was the ministry? To testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That was his ministry. To testify of the gospel of the grace of God. No wonder when Paul got down to Galatia, the church there at Galatia, he said, I marvel. You know, the Judaizers had come in. They were trying to mix the law and mix the grace now. And there, it was confusing to the church. You know, he said, he made a statement. He said, ye that are justified, are you now made perfect by the flesh? In other words, beloved, listen. It's either the grace of God that saves us, or we're not saved, according to the Word of God. Amen? You can't save yourself. It's God and His grace. And the Word of God said here in chapter 1, verse 6, I marveled that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Beloved, I'm telling you, listen, those that are preaching a gospel of do's and a gospel of don'ts, I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. If you ever get saved, there's a lot of things you'll want to do and a lot of things you won't want to do. But, beloved, we don't get saved by doing and not doing. We get saved, as Brother Billy Mitchell would say, by coming to a place where we get in agreement with God and take sides with God against ourselves, amen, and agree that we're the sinner and He is the Savior. It's a gospel to be defended. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? In Philippians 1:7, he says, it's meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. I'll tell you something that's going on, beloved. Listen, listen to me carefully. Listen, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can love money in a bar room, and you can love money in a church house. And men that will not preach repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, sign this little card, pray this little prayer, join our church, and you'll be all right. Put some money in the offering plate. They're lying. Jesus said, you must be born again. I believe Jesus. He cannot lie.
Nicodemus had a belly full of religion, but he had a heart that was empty when he came to Jesus that night. Had a belly full of religion and did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord. I used to go to church with a young lady and her family. And I'd go to church on Saturday night. I'm telling you, beloved, before they got back to the car, they was cussing. When the preacher of that church come up the driveway, "Would you like to have something to drink?" Now, listen to me. He said, "Hey, would you like to have a beer?" "No, I want something harder than that." "No problem." I was at my dad and I was building a carport for a quote-unquote preacher. 10 o'clock in the morning, he was going to preach a funeral and said, drunk, he had no business being behind the wheel of a car. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, that people are loving money more than they're loving God. And preachers in this land will not tell the truth because they're afraid somebody will sit on their $100 bill and won't put it in the offering plate. It's a sad day that we live in. There's going to be a lot in the day of judgment fall right out there at the doors of the average church in America. We wouldn't stand. They kept coming. We kept tickling their ears. And they kept putting their money in the plate. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that's not of God. The gospel is what needs to be preached in these days. Jesus died. You've got people who wants to take the blood out of the songbook. Take it out of the Bible. I said Jesus died. And beloved, that's saying it simply. Because when you examine his death, nobody ever died like Jesus. Nobody ever cared for you and I like Jesus. It's a gospel to be defended. Some people get offended when you stand up for the gospel. Paul said it like this, beloved, listen. He said, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you're partakers of my grace. Jude said it like this. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but I ain't got nothing for the new stuff. You want to dance? Go to a dance hall. If you want to have a rock concert, go get your tickets and go to one. But that stuff don't belong in the house of God. Amen. If you want to wear a bikini, don't wear it to church. Amen. And I'd rather not find out you're wearing it. Amen. I'm just saying, beloved, God is for decency. And God has not changed his mind. Neither is he going to. He said, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The gospel still works. Every once in a while, pastor will get real discouraged. Then just every once in a while, you see somebody walk down here like Savannah did Sunday morning. Crushed in her little heart. You say, preacher, can a 10-year-old, somebody help me. Oh, yes. The Holy Ghost shows up. A 10-year-old can understand, Brother Rufus, I'm lost, and I need Jesus. Amen. Would to God I'd have got saved when I was 10 years old. I wouldn't be carrying near the scars that I'm carrying today. The fellowship in the gospel. Look at this. I'm trying to hurry. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3. I'm talking about the gospel manifested. It manifests itself in grace. It manifests itself in preaching. I'll give you a couple more things and I'm done. It manifests itself in fellowship. It manifests itself in salvation. Paul said in Philippians 1, 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Let me ask you something. What goes on in your heart when you think about God's people? You know, Brother Steve, we got a lot to be thankful for if we can honestly say, I cannot think of one of God's people that I'm not thankful for, that I'm not praying for. I don't have anything in my heart against them. I can't even think of a sinner I've got anything in my heart to get them. The Word of God's talking about fellowship. He said here, for your fellowship in the gospel. Let me give you this tonight. If it weren't for the gospel, Sister Brenda, our paths would have never crossed. If it weren't for the gospel, Brother Gary, you see, somewhere back yonder you came by the cross. Somewhere back yonder I came by the cross. Somewhere back yonder, beloved Brother Ike, you came by the cross, and then God gives us a fellowship, Brother Wade, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only let God be true and every man a liar, but God's people know the difference between truth and a lie. They know when they're hearing the truth. Thank God tonight for our fellowship in the gospel. Being confident of this very thing, when He begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you this. I've never seen this before. I don't know if that's good English. Never saw this before. Never seen this before. Which one's right, Missy? I have never seen. Thank you, Missy. I have never seen this before. I ain't saw this before. That's pretty good, ain't it? Yeah. This side likes that, Missy, because they know I'm picking at you, honey. Amen. Take that up with Sister Gladys. She's grinning from ear to ear right now. Amen. I've not seen this before. It's a gospel of assurance. You know, you talked about Brother Rufus all them years. Beloved, sometime I'll share my testimony with you, brother. I know all about it. I know all about it. I know all about living a life of ifs. If I am, if I'm not. If I am, if I'm not. Boy, if you ever get the sinner to Calvary, the if's gone. You're not looking over like that one thief anymore and saying, if you're the Christ. Oh, no, you're looking like that other thief saying, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Gospel of assurance. Y'all remember John the Baptist? He's a pretty good feller, wasn't he? Jesus said this about him. Said, among them that are born of women, there's not a greater than John. Now listen, they didn't some Hollywood actor say that about him. Author of some book other than the Bible. It was Christ that said that about John. Well, John's down there in the prison. John had heard in the prison the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples. The Word of God said, what's this now? Said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. I said it's the gospel of assurance. Now watch where I'm going. The Word of God said the blind receive their sight. I believe when they said that, Brother Steve, something welled up in John. He said, yeah, I've seen that happen before. I've seen Jesus walk up to a blind man, and all of a sudden he can see. And then they said this, they said, the lame walk. I believe, John, it's just getting sweeter and sweeter now. He said, I remember that. I've seen Jesus touch a lame man. I've seen him get up and walk and leap and run. I remember that. Then the Word of God said, the lepers are cleansed. I believe John said, boy, it's a helping me. Ain't nobody but Christ can do that. Ain't nobody but the Son of God that could have that kind of power. He said, the deaf hear. He said, oh, I remember. I remember Jesus touching those ears and all of a sudden they could hear. Then the Word of God said, the dead are raised up. I believe old John said, I've been there. I've seen that. Jesus, there's one thing he couldn't do. He couldn't attend a funeral. Because if he did, it was no longer a funeral. Amen. When life showed up, they got up. Amen. Then it got down to this. I believe by this time, Brother Steve, John is, he's just about to melt. But he said, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. I believe that sealed the deal. I believe old John said, that's him. John could understand and close his eyes and hear the Son of God without respect of person. It didn't matter if you was rich or if you was poor. It didn't matter what color you was or where you was from. The Son of God was no respect of persons. The poor had the gospel preached unto them. I want you to know tonight, beloved, it's the gospel that gives that assurance in our heart. I can hear a man testify like he did tonight. Now there was a time, how many knows what I'm fixing to say? There was a time when I'd rather not heard a testimony like that. There was a time when there was a verse of Scripture that really, really bothered me. One of them over there was, "That depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." The other one over there was, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." No marvel, for Satan himself. No marvel if his ministers also be transformed into angels of light. Those scriptures really, really bothered me for years. You want to know why? I needed to be bothered. I want to stand tonight and say, thank God he didn't quit bothering me. You want to know why that lady stopped Brother Brian and ran back and gave him that gospel tract? Because he needed to be bothered. You want to know why? When I went to Marion, Virginia to see a urologist years ago and sat down there in the waiting room and looked over there and there laid a gospel tract. You can always tell a person that's saved and a person that's not saved if you pay attention to this. An unsaved person would say, there laid a pamphlet. Am I right or am I wrong? What'd that gospel tract say, preacher? I looked over there and it said, how to miss heaven. I can't remember if it's 16 or 18 inches, one of the two. How to miss heaven by 16 inches. And I thought, how does anybody get that close? Let me tell you something. Judas got closer than that. Judas kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. The gospel tract talked about the distance between a man's mind and a man's heart. All down through those years, he didn't give up on me. He kept letting me hear. Brother John, I think about the Sunday school lesson. You said, I heard and I heard and I heard, but one day I heard. He kept letting me hear the gospel. Oh, brother, I may remember Brother Eddie Crusenberry. You remember him? He came here and he brought his choir. Brother Eddie's in heaven now with his daddy. I went to Shady Valley, Tennessee and sat down under a tent. Now, his daddy was one of them preachers when he got to preaching. He looked like a cotton mouth in his mouth. He'd get up, Brother Ike, on Sunday morning in his church. He'd preach the announcements. I'm telling you the truth. He'd open the bulletin. Praise God, we're going to have dinner after a while. Charlie, some of you women brought some banana pudding. I mean, he'd preach the announcements. I'm talking about Eddie's daddy. But he got up that night, and here's what he preached on. Religious wrecks on the highway to hell. Oh, if I could have swallowed that pride that night, I could have got in. Because I can tell you this, it wasn't a preacher that skipped me alive. It was a Holy Ghost of God that skipped me alive. Thank God for the gospel. How many's glad you come this way tonight? How many's glad you heard the gospel? How many's glad for the fellowship in the gospel? Houston, I could have got all the way to heaven without ever knowing you. I'm glad it didn't work out like that. We have something that's sweet. Would somebody help me? Amen. Amen, Brother Larry. You can hand the man a gun full of stain, him shoot himself right between the eyes. And he's still sitting in this church loving his pastor and praying for him. Now you know why we didn't build the whole thing, don't you, Brother Larry? We'd have got somebody killed for sure, wouldn't we? Amen. God's good. I didn't mean to stay this long. It's y'all's fault. You keep listening. Invite somebody Sunday. And I'm going to beg you tonight. I'm not going to give what you call a formal invitation. But I'm going to beg you. If you don't know him, if you don't know him and you don't know for sure, I want to quote something my pastor said to me the night I got saved. He put his arm around me in the altar. He called my name. He said, "Rick, son, I'm glad you came." Here's what he said. "Ain't nothing worth dying going to hell over." I think that's worthy of repeating. I don't know if I can get it exactly right, Brother Grizzle, but it says something like this. "What shall a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You can look down into hell tonight to hear them screaming. "What would you give?" They'd say, "Everything. Everything. Everything. I'd give anything to be able to sit under one more gospel message and have one more opportunity to swallow my stinking pride. Say yes to the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin of the world." Whew. My wife will tell you, I've hurt like a toothache all day, but I feel good right now. The gospel. Long as God will help me, I want to stand for the gospel. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. Amen. Let's stand together tonight.